We can all see that picture right now. Charlie Brown is backing up. Lucy's holding the football. Charlie Brown's backing up because he is going to kick it into outer space. And he comes running up, and just as he gets there, Lucy pulls the ball back, and Charlie Brown ends up doing a flip and landing on his back. And then there comes another time. He wants to try it again. Same result. Another time, same result. But then there comes a time when Lucy says, "Hey, Charlie Brown, come kick the football and I will hold it for you." But Charlie Brown, he's discouraged. He says, "No, I have learned that I can't do that. I can't overcome that. It'll just have to be the way it is. I'll just have to learn to live with this inability in my life." Discouragement. Discouragement can cause people to simply give up. We've tried, we've tried, we've tried, and it's the same old result. Lucy pulls the ball back, we end up on our back, and so we're not going to try anymore. Well, this same attitude can be found in Christians as they deal with sin in their life. Especially Christians who are dealing with tremendous temptations. You know, Christians want to obey God. They hate their sin. They love Jesus Christ. Yet the reality is there seems to be no victory over their pet sins, over their pet temptations. And they finally get to the place where they just want to stop trying. They're so discouraged. They get to the point of saying, "Well, I'm just going to live with this sin in my life because I can't seem to overcome it." Just like Charlie Brown, we get to that place where discouragement is our guide instead of the Word of God. The psalmist kind of describes a situation like this. The psalmist describes that he has enemies. He has enemies outside of himself, and then he's got enemies inside of himself. And he asks the question, "Why must I continually be discouraged and not able to overcome my enemies? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" It's obvious that the psalmist's words describe somebody who is really struggling, on the brink maybe even of despair and depression. Discouragement has overcome him, and he does not see any reason now to keep on keeping on. He asked the question of himself, and I think we can ask the question of ourselves. What can we do to fight discouragement in our life when we find that we're falling into the same sin over and over and over again? We hate it, we love Christ, yet this sin, whatever it may be, seems to be the driving force in our life. Well, the first foundation, the first rock of support for a discouraged, tempted soul is that where temptations are a burden, now get this, get it, where temptations are a burden, where sin is a burden in your life. My friend, that's evidence of grace in your life. Where you are discouraged because sin, you should find encouragement because of grace. The writer to the Hebrews says, it is not the throne of judgment. It is not a throne of wrath that we have to approach. No, it is the throne of grace. If you didn't have grace, the Holy Spirit working in your life, then your sin would not be a burden to you. Pirates don't seek to rob ships unless there's treasure there. The thief doesn't seek to break into the house unless there's treasure there. The reason that Satan sifts you as wheat, the reason that Satan lays these sins before you every time and we fall into these temptations every time is not because sin is your master, but because grace is your master. The reason you struggle is because of the grace of God working in your life. It is the presence of the nectar in the flower that attracts the hornet. It is the presence of grace in your life that attracts the evil one to lay temptations before you. Therefore, do not be downcast, O my soul. Another rock of support for the soul that is downcast and discouraged because of great temptations is you're not alone in this struggle. You are not alone in this struggle. Every one of us in here has this struggle. Every Christian that has come before us has had this struggle. Every Christian that will come after us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they will have this same struggle. Remember the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers? Onward Christian Soldiers. And it goes on to say, we are treading where the saints have trod. Well, what do you mean we are treading where the saints have trod? The whole hymn is about spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. It is about dealing with sin in our lives and sin in the lives of those around us. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go back and read the narratives of the patriarchs and the prophets. Every one of them struggled with sin in their life. Elijah. Elijah, through his prayers, could shut up the heavens so it wouldn't rain. But Elijah couldn't shut up his own heart from temptation. Job, the scripture says, he was a righteous man. Yet he was tempted to curse God. Peter, oh yeah, Peter, the rock. He denied Christ. Samson, David, they were all tempted to sexual sins. Solomon, the wisest man in all of the ancient Near East, had to deal with greed in his life. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was tempted. The scripture says that he was led into the desert to be tempted by the devil. No sooner had Christ come out of the Jordan where he was baptized than he goes to the desert to be tempted by the devil. Even Christ, though he was sinless, Yet he had to struggle against temptations being laid before him. There is not the first child of God that is exempt from this struggle. We're all in it together. Therefore, do not be cast down, O my soul, for the struggle in your life is a sign that your name is written in the book of life. Another solid rock of comfort for the soul that is bombarded with temptation is that we have a great high priest who is tempted in every way that we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus Christ sympathizes with our situation. He is very aware, and he is so sensitive to our struggles. It is as if he himself, when we are being bombarded with temptation, it is as if he himself is the one being bombarded with temptation. This comes about because of our mystical union with him through the Holy Spirit. In a sense, the Holy Spirit transcends heaven and earth. It's as if the Holy Spirit keeps one hand on Christ and the other hand on us. And so whatever happens to us, Christ feels the struggle. He feels our discouragement. He knows our sadness. The prophet Zechariah put it this way. God said to Israel, "He who touches you touches the apple of my eye." When Satan bombards you, he is bombarding Christ. I remember an incident in my childhood playing Little League baseball. There was a fellow on my team who, well, just to be honest, he didn't have any athletic ability whatsoever. Every time he went to bat, he struck out. Every time he played the field, the ball would roll between his legs or go over his head. I mean, he just couldn't do it. But all the time that he was on the ball field, his mother was there. And when the child struck out, his mother felt it. When he missed the ball, his mother felt it. As she sat up in the stands and heard other adults criticizing this child, she felt it. When this little boy was being criticized by his team, oh, she felt it. Whenever he did something wrong, not only was he hurt by it, but she was hurt by it as well. This is the way of Christ with us. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are." Everything that you were tempted with, Christ was tempted with. Every temptation that you fall into, Christ was victorious over. And so the scriptures then point you to Christ. And when we focus upon Christ, oh, then we have no reason then to be downcast, O my soul. Our next rock of comfort for those who are very discouraged is kind of unlike the mother at the ballpark. The mother at the ballpark, though she hurt for her son, she was really helpless to do anything to help him. Christ Jesus is not helpless. It is not helpless to help us. He is all powerful and he is able and willing to give relief when needed. Once again, the writer to the Hebrews says, he shared in our humanity that he may destroy the power of the devil. He came to help the children of Abraham, meaning the spiritual children of Abraham, true believers, Christians. See, Jesus is kind of like the Good Samaritan. He rescues us from a bad situation, but then he doesn't just leave us there. No, he takes us off of the road where we have been run over and beaten up. But then he pours the oil and the wine on our wounds to heal us and to take care of us. When Peter was ready to sink into the water, Jesus walking on the water, Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. Jesus says, all right, get out of the boat, come on. But then Peter began to focus upon the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And he said, Lord, help me. Jesus immediately took out his hand, took him by the hand, and brought him back to the boat. So when a discouraged soul is being hard-pressed by temptations and cries to heaven for help, Christ rides on the clouds to relieve us and to save us. Have you ever seen there in Psalm 18, we are given a picture of God's reaction to our prayers? Oh, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. Psalm 18, he says, he shot arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and he routed them, all coming to my rescue. Jesus knows what it means to be tempted. And when he was tempted, he cried out to God for help. So my friend, when you find that you are being assaulted with multiple temptations, cry out to the one who intercedes for you continuously, and he will supply you with strength. Christ is on your side. God is on your side. And if God is for you, who can be against you? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Who would desire a better lifeguard there at the pool than Jesus Christ himself? He is our lifeguard. His love inclines him to rescue us. His faithfulness engages him to rescue us. Look at the story of the Old Testament where God rescued Israel in the desert. He led them to a rock that would bring forth water. He provided them with manna. He was the pillar of cloud. He was the bronze serpent. All these, you see, were types of Christ. And all of these types of Christ were engaged in providing what Israel needed. Another way that Christ, not only does he continually pray for us, but another way that Christ helps us in our discouraged situation is that he brings to mind the word of God to us. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says. He says, "My soul is downcast within me." You ever been there? Your soul being downcast within you. But listen to what he goes on to say. "My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Great is his faithfulness." What the prophet is saying is that though he was in a terrible situation, though he was beset by great temptations, yet what the Holy Spirit did was remind him of God's word. He reminded him of the promises of God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Paul writes to the Romans, "Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And lastly, Christ shows us his willingness to bring help. And I've already mentioned it, but by him praying for us, Christ always lives to intercede for those he saves. If the devil is tempting you, Christ is praying for you. He is our great high priest, and he always lives to make intercession for us. "Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I have fallen into great sins. I have done some terrible things, and things that I continually do over and over and over again. I have just doesn't seem that I can be delivered from my pet sins. And now I'm downcast because I think that Christ will not help a sinner as I." What you say? Christ will not help you? What? Have you ever called upon him and he has not helped you? He always lives to intercede for you. And though you fail him, he will not fail you. Though you have betrayed him, he will not betray you. Remember the story of Joseph there in the Old Testament? Joseph was a type of Christ. His brother sold him into slavery. Yet, when his brothers were experiencing the famine, Joseph forgave them and remembered those sins no more. But not only that, not only did he forgive them, but he was ready and able to help them because he gave them silver and grain. And he said to them, "I am Joseph, your brother. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold as a slave. Yet I will take care of you." So when we are beset by great sin, and when we fall into sin, Christ will say to us, "I know your unkindness to me. I know how you have distrusted my love. I know how you have grieved the Spirit. But I am your spiritual Joseph. Therefore, I will deliver you out of this situation. It's one thing to be overcome in the skirmish. It's quite another thing to be overcome in the war. As long as we keep our weapons, the Word of God, prayer, the sacraments, as long as we keep those spiritual weapons at our side, yes, we will be assaulted, and at times we will fall into temptation. But as long as we keep our weapons at our side, through the power of Christ, through the grace of Christ, we shall prevail. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? This is the question the psalmist asks. And then he answers it. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, this is tidings of great joy. Tidings of comfort. That where I have fallen into sin time and time and time again, my great high priest, the one who represents me, did not. And he will strengthen me. He will strengthen me by his word. He will strengthen me by his grace. He will strengthen me through his Holy Spirit to get back up and to once again engage the enemy. Engage the enemy of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Charlie Brown, get back up. Go kick that ball. Christian, get back up. Get back up. Do not be discouraged. For our great high priest will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is our great reward. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you that though we fail and fail you time and time again, yet you have never failed us. Oh, Heavenly Father, in times of great temptation, give us grace to keep our eyes focused upon Christ Jesus and to find hope in Him. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning as we stand and sing a hymn of response. Hymn number 211, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Hymn 211.